Oh, how about that?
Man, seriously, right now, put the four into the air like you mean it. As a matter of fact, give the double four, flash the four, Basin O'Neill. Our number four of the Doug and Wolf Show, Savages in the Morning on a Cowbell Friday.
Absolutely. Tweet us, hashtag Quad Squad, at Doug and Wolf 98.7. Maloney, you're in charge of this today. Guaranteed retweets for anybody that takes a selfie, not while driving, of you flashing the four. I've even seen dog paws flashing the four at us before. That's a guaranteed way for Maloney to go crazy if you have a dog in your picture. If you just want a simple way to get Maloney's attention, there it is.
Flash the four. Everybody's working for the
weekend. You can bang that cowbell for the next hour. I mean, go right ahead, Bear. My opinion on this Friday, I've got 10 of them. I would give one up. I'll give up a toe right now for a steak sandwich and a beer.
Really? A steak sandwich and a beer. Really?
Yeah.
I'll keep the toe. You want a piece of my
heart? Good morning. We're in the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center. We are not broadcasting in the Action Community Studios this morning, as we've been live at Cardinals headquarters today in light of the news of Patrick Peterson getting a six-game suspension from the NFL for a violation of the PED policy. And truth be told, this is so broad. Just saying that, and we only say this so you know, just saying a violation of the PED policies is an extremely broad statement. This guy could have been one of the biggest cheaters in the NFL and got caught. And if that's the case, thank God he did. In which he is taking some kind of major steroid that he knew about and then tried to take some kind of masking agent or did something totally unscrupulous to screw up the testing procedure and got caught. That's within the realm of possibility. Or you're talking about a guy who made a dumb mistake. And when I say mistake, I don't mean the guy that's been cheating on his wife for 5 years and then tried to say, I made a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, wait, it's been 5 years. What was the mistake?
Yeah.
No, I mean, he could have thought, you know what? This medicine looks great. My doctor said I could take it for my diabetes. I didn't think about it. I just took it. It was dumb. And now I got tested for the banned substance list and I didn't realize that that was going to happen. And then you get suspended for that. And you know what? If that's the case, man, we all need to back up a little bit.
Absolutely, Douglas. No.
Here's the one problem.
That's the thing, the details, again.
The details create a problem. And here's what Dan Graziano said, an NFL insider, when he was on with Bickley and Murata yesterday about, well, wait a minute, it's not four games, it's six.
Yes, I would think that would compound the difficulty of the usual excuse that you hear in cases like this, which is that, oh, I took something I didn't know was banned, or, you know, I don't know how that got in there, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, but if there's also a masking agent, which, by the way, would be a pretty ineffective one,
right,
if you also tested positive for the drug that it's supposed to mask.
Which,
see, those are details to me.
Yes.
The details,
which might go to
story,
the point of maybe he did, because it says in the rules the two-game suspension is for the use of a masking agent or, and it doesn't say this isn't legalese, but basically doing anything unscrupulous in the testing process.
Correct.
Of trying to get yourself off. So what we do know, and that's why this is tough, what we do know is, I shouldn't say we do know this, but I'm speculating that I know that Patrick Peterson knew he had it in his system. However it got there, he knew it was in his system, because you do have to ask, why did you try to hide it, either with the masking agent or with your actions?
Mm-hmm.
Because the CBA says first-time offender gets a four-game suspension for use. Six games is the total. Four and then another two for the masking agent or behavior. So what scared me, Wolf, is if the best corner in the game thinks he needs to use to be productive,
yeah,
where are we in the NFL?
Oh, my
goodness. It's a little unfair to ask, because there's a lot of players going, wait a minute, I got here on my own.
Yes,
I'm not using,
absolutely,
and I'm successful.
Absolutely.
But one of the best players in the game is using. Why? Patrick, why?
I have no idea. You'd have to ask Patrick Peterson, of course, right? What are the details? What are the conditions in which he was taking this? I really do not know. I do know this. He didn't deny it, ladies and gentlemen. He did not, to his credit. He didn't sit there and craft some story. Now, maybe there is something coming, because he did say, my character, my commitment to the game, you guys all understand it, right? Dan Bickley, of course, has tweeted out that maybe it was in regard to his diabetes, his type 2 diabetes, whatever it may
be. He's got an article article at ArizonaSports.com.
The only
on
question I have on that is why Patrick didn't actually say something yesterday about that. Why you wouldn't take that opportunity to just say there's a lot more to this story. I'm going to be letting you guys know about that in the coming days. There's no doubt about that. But right now, I don't want to focus on that. I just want to say I'm sorry. I totally would have understood that approach from Patrick Peterson in this regard because it is such a dicey situation. Now, listen, what the rest of the league is doing, ladies and gentlemen, I don't have any idea. I don't. I know that 5 to 7 years ago, HGH was pretty pervasive in the league because it helped your body recover quicker. You could get stronger without putting on weight, right? Mm-hmm. Stronger, which would help you get faster with your body recovering quicker. There were a lot. If ever there was a drug that was made for the National Football League, for the most part, to help your body get bigger, stronger, faster, and recover quicker, it was that. And I know that's why they cracked down on that. It's what the NFL has done. The one thing you can say about the NFL, they've been very, very proactive when it comes to performance-enhancing drugs, when it comes to anabolic steroids. They always have. They have in the past, and I think they're continuing to do it right now, but it takes two to tangle on this issue with the NFLPA. And I understand the NFLPA's position as well, right? Listen, you know, we've got to sit down and mutually agree what is the best way to proceed.
And I got to tell you, this is an opinion that not a lot of people talk about, especially from someone like me that's in the media. But for those of you that are fans, I realize it's easy to say, well, you get paid millions, you should have to. But at the same time, put yourself in everybody's shoes. If you're on vacation with your family and some guy in a lab coat walks up to you and demands a urine test right there in the middle of Paris, Champs-Élysées,
yes,
or you're going through an amazing trip in Dunkirk, or you're in Normandy and you're in a moment like this with your family and then some guy wants a drug test.
Yeah.
You have to do it. It's a violation if you don't. They're allowed to test you 6 times in the offseason. It's supposedly totally random when it happens. Don't you want a CBA, a collectively bargained agreement?
Yes.
Don't you want a players' union arguing for you, especially if you have a track history of not using? I mean, don't you want that? So I want it. And I'm not even one of the players. And I know I wouldn't be the ones getting dinged. But I think you still have to have that support. You still have to have that. And that's kind of an opinion that we don't talk about. Oh, you shouldn't have to worry about it. Well, okay, what if you're never used and you're still getting bothered while you're in the middle of a family vacation? And that's what happens.
Yes. All I know is this right here. Human beings, if in fact there are millions of dollars that are at stake out there, the only thing more powerful than money is the promise of money, ladies and gentlemen. And if in fact you had the ability, you had some God-given ability, and you were dirt poor, taking a drug suddenly doesn't seem so bad if, in fact, you can support your family, if that's what you got to do. And that's the only reason why it'll always be around. You'll never, ever get rid of it completely. You never will. Because of the guys in the league that could look at it and say, you know what, I'm really, really close. I want to support my family. I'll do anything to take care of my 3 kids. Honestly.
You know,
that's why it'll be around, because of humankind and human nature.
Backing you up on that, coming up next, if anyone can indulge me on this, I want to tell you the story about meeting the greatest American I have ever met. And his stance on steroids will shock you.
Yes.
It's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Thanks for listening to the Doug and Wolf Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Maloney will keep you updated on the PGA Championship and what's going on there. Brooks Koepka doesn't tee off today until a little bit shy of 11 o'clock this morning. His lead is still at 3 strokes. But it's just been held by different people in second place. Right now, Daniel Berger has shot an even par yesterday, but a 4-under today, and he's through his second round. And he's the closest one to Brooks Koepka right now. So we'll keep you informed on that throughout the day and into Bickley and Murata as well. I have a story that I probably have not told in about 10 years. And this is still a Patrick Peterson topic. And I think a lot of you know Patrick Peterson suspended 6 games for PEDs. But one of the greatest moments in my radio life, as long as it doesn't have something to do with PCH, which is always the top notch thing was I got to spend an hour in studio just talking baseball with Buck O'Neill.
Very cool.
If you aren't familiar with the Buck O'Neill story, he literally for my life is the single greatest American I've ever met. He served his country in the Navy for 3 years in World War II, and he was a man that was a legendary Negro League baseball player.
Yes.
He's the first person to ever be a black man as a coach at the Major League level, and he was a great scout in the majors. And if you really want to get to know the man, it was impossible to talk to him without laughing, crying, or smiling. Every time. He had such a life that was about him, and I'll never forget to my day, and I might even have trouble getting through this story, he did not get elected into the Baseball Hall of Fame when he had his one chance at it. They didn't elect him because baseball decided we're going to have this special Negro League committee that's going to have one final vote on everybody.
Yes.
And he didn't make it. And I was in a room full of people, adults that were crying. Admittedly, I was one when we found out that he didn't get in. And he got up on a microphone and he said, "Stop crying for old Buck. If you want to cry for me, cry that I didn't get into Sarasota High School."
Yes.
I wanted to go to Sarasota High School. It was close to my home. It was easy for my parents, and they said I couldn't because I was black.
Yes.
Cry for me then.
Amen.
Don't cry for me now because I got voted on like a man. And the greatest compliment I could ever give Mark Grace, he actually said, I was a lot like Mark Grace. And Mark Grace isn't in the Hall of Fame. I got to be voted on. They judged me as a player. They said I wasn't worthy. Don't cry for old Buck.
Unbelievable.
That's the type of person he is.
Great story that is. Why have you should tell that more.
Oh, he was amazing.
I've heard it before, but you know, I think it's been about a decade.
Yeah, and there's even a great Joe Posnanski, a great writer column, that sat with Joe one time, and Joe was upset because some adult fan ran after a ball and beat a kid to the ball and kept the ball. And Joe was furious. Joe said, why didn't he give that to that boy? Blah, blah, blah. And Joe, and then Buck O'Neill said to him right then and there, maybe his son's in the hospital and he wants to take it back.
Yeah, right.
You know, and you're
all right.
Whoa.
That's a good point there, Buck. There's no.
That's the type of person. He always saw the positive in everything. Now, the reason why I'm telling you this story as it relates to Patrick Peterson is this. In that hour when I was with him talking baseball, we started talking steroids. And the greatest American personally that I've ever met said this. Do you mean to tell me I could take a pill and it makes me better than you?
Oh, my goodness.
Of course I'm taking that pill.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what I'm talking about.
Humankind, human nature.
He looked especially at it as competition.
When you come from humble beginnings, ladies and gentlemen, this is something I know very, very, very much about. When you come from humble beginnings, believe me, right now, where you see a better way, a better day, somehow, some way, you're telling me if I just take this pill, somehow, because I've already been given some God-given ability, some God-given talent, now all of a sudden I'm going to be able to, what, take care of my entire family and move them out of poverty? Is that even a decision for a lot of people? I don't know. I do know that humankind and human nature is never going to change. And obviously, Buck O'Neill is somebody who understands mm-hmm. it.
And I admit, I look at Patrick Peterson, and I immediately go to the cheater card. That's what I think. And I will backtrack in a heartbeat and gladly backtrack because of how I feel about Patrick Peterson, the person, if we find out that all it was he took a banned substance because of his diabetes, didn't mean to, and he's already on other diuretics that are part of it that then are tested positive for a masking agent, and there's an explanation. Man, will I run to backtrack, and I'll do it with a smile on my face. And I go there, I admit, though, to the cheating card. But I've always been amazed by Buck O'Neill, who, like I said, for me, greatest American I ever met. And here he is telling me in a heartbeat.
Yes.
He would have used it in a heartbeat. And he didn't apologize. And no, he didn't have the opportunity to use it. But he says, yes, of course.
Yes.
I want to win.
I want to make this clear, though, my brothers, my young crunk brothers that are out there listening right now. That doesn't mean I condone it. It doesn't mean I condone it at all. I do not condone it. I don't whatsoever. But I will say right now, do I understand it? You better believe that I understand that. I know what it's like to be poor, right? There are people, even in this country, there are so many people that are out there, and they're basically hungry. They're hungry, and I'm not talking about being hungry for achievement. I'm talking about hungry for dinner or for lunch. They're hungry, and boy, that'll change your perspective so much, especially when you come from some of these other places like the Dominican, by way of example, right? And suddenly you've got the ability, Venezuela, you've got the ability to support your family somehow, some way, you know, and if you could just hang on for 5, 6, 7 years and be able to, it would change the entire arc of your family. I understand what Buck O'Neill is saying. Mm-hmm. I'm not condoning it in any way, shape, or form, nor will I ever. But I understand certainly what he's saying.
You know, and it also brings up something since I kind of steered us towards baseball. I don't know. I think I know why. But it is one of the more fascinating things of people like me. And you can call me a hypocrite for it. I might deserve it. I completely detest A-Rod, Barry Bonds. I just throw up at the thought of them. The cheating level of Barry Bonds. Look at your chest. Look at your head. Look at your feet. Don't tell me you didn't know. I realize you got away with the perjury, but you lied. And I just think Barry Bonds is a sack of crap. I can't stand the thought of a guy that cheated the game. And yet, it's baseball. And everybody looks at baseball, fair or not, differently because of the history of the game.
Why is that? I don't understand it at all.
My theory is, and I'm part of the problem here, I admit it. My theory is that because people that are nut jobs for the game like me were nut jobs because of the history. So it's like, how dare you pass Joe DiMaggio with your cheating ways? How dare you come close to Roger Maris's record because of your cheating ways? If you could touch Lou Brock's stolen bases and you did it with the speed you got from PEDs, that's an outrage. And yet, admittedly, and maybe it's scary because we accept football players as gladiators.
Yeah.
It's almost like, I don't care what
nobody
you do
cares.
To your body.
Nobody does.
I don't care. You're just hitting another man.
I shouldn't say nobody does.
You're right.
Of course, there are people out there that do care about it. There's no doubt about it. I mean, the NFL cares about it.
Yes. You're right.
I mean, of course. So it just is a weird, it is such a strange dynamic. The NFL, too, has always been so proactive when it comes to getting PEDs out of the game. They're proactive and bent on getting it all out. And yet it's weird because most fans of the NFL really don't put that as a big issue with them.
Yeah, yeah.
Yet baseball, it's the end-all, be-all.
It is. There's a sidebar to this, if you didn't know. Anytime, this is the Sean Merriman rule. Anytime you are suspended for PED use during the year, it is forbidden for you to receive any awards. There is zero chance Patrick Peterson can win an MVP. There is zero chance he can get any award. And then even bigger than that, he's no longer a Pro Bowler every year. He cannot win a record or set a standard of being a Pro Bowler every year of his career.
Yes.
He's not going to the 2019 Pro Bowl, no matter what, no matter how well he plays. And I got to tell you, I like that rule. I think that's very, very fair. And a lot of people were outraged when Sean Merriman broke the rules and still had sack records. Coming up, by the way, I want to tell you about Burns and Gambo today from 2 to 6. They're at DBAT Avondale. Take advantage of the half-off pricing during the roadshow, plus your chance to win D-backs and Phoenix Rising tickets and gift cards to DBAT. Visit the events page on arizonasports.com for complete details. And everybody come to the west side, you know, and buy a house while you're out there. We actually are running out of them for once because it's kind of a hot place to go. Coming up next, you've got an opportunity to understand something that Patrick Peterson did. The reason, and the question is it justified that the Cardinals didn't listen? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports poll question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Maloney, what you got?
Should the Cardinals move on from Patrick Peterson? 73% say yes, enough is enough. 27% say no, he's made some mistakes, but he should stay.
Stay.
I got to tell you, and I don't remember the last time I said this, to the web flower, as they're called,
That's a fantastic question.
That is.
That is
no doubt about it.
It hits right at the heart of the matter right now. And to see the Cardinals need to listen to that a little bit. Not too much. I mean, they need to take everything into account. And for a fan base to be that opinionated about it. And Patrick needs to wake up to that fact. One of the guys that has one of the great reputations in this city has injured his reputation so bad that the vast majority of you have had enough of it. I totally admit sometimes talent wins. I'm sitting here going, do I want to get rid of the talent? Not yet. Do I want to get rid of the man? Not yet. But I don't look at any of you in the 76% with the argumentative eye that you're all terrible people that are acting like you've never made a mistake.
Yeah.
You're just saying you're sick of it. And no. I can understand that.
For me, I say stay, Basin Onions, but you know what? That is me personally. That is not me, the Arizona Cardinals. If I'm that entity right now, so much of what happened, so much of what has transpired right now is going to be about what has happened between them personally and also the details of this story. The details, not just the what, but the how of all of it right now. That's what matters.
It does.
Because relationship is what matters, period. And that's personal. That's between Patrick Peterson and Steve Keim. That's between Patrick Peterson and Michael Bidwell. That's between Patrick Peterson and Cliff Kingsbury. It's all about the relationship. Where does the relationship truly stand this morning? For me, it's easy for me to say, stay. Stay, baby, because you're never going to get equal value for Patrick Peterson on the open market right now. You will not. Your leverage is so compromised in this situation. You could try to trade him.
Yep.
You're never going to get equal value for Pat Peace. To me, I say, listen, I love the guy. I love who he is. I love what he does schematically for the Arizona Cardinals on the defensive side of the ball and for the team on every Sunday. I'd keep the guy and go forward from that point.
The one thing, and I'm so with you on details, because Patrick Peterson has been doing so much for charity. He's been doing so many good things that I do sit here, if you're putting me in the seat of judgment, of trying to give him the benefit of the doubt in every which way, because I don't have all the answers. You tell me that he's been using for years, this time he got caught, and he did something ridiculous to the tester to try to avoid detection during the process, which could be a case.
Listen, details.
It's one scenario that we don't know. Okay, now I'm off the deep end against it. Then you have a guy that just came off of demanding a trade. What kind of leader are you? If your team has to go through bad times, you go along with it. Blah, blah, blah. You've been paid handsomely to be a Cardinal. What are you whining about? There's so many ways to go negative, and I don't fault any of you if you did. I'm just not ready to go there yet. But I do sit here, and one thing that I don't think is right is ripping the Cardinals for it. And the reason why I say I don't think it's right ripping the Cardinals, the snakes in the grass stuff, boy, I just hope that was an immature reaction by a good man, you know, because I really respect Gambo's report. Gambo's report that said he was upset the team wouldn't restructure his contract. I got to ask you, Patrick, wait a minute. If you did indeed do this and it has nothing to do with diabetes and you tried to cheat the game, and then it's okay to ask. You ask the Cardinals, hey, can you throw me a bone and try to restructure my deal? And if I'm going to make up a scenario. Let's say the Cardinals say, well, we can't just give it to you in a bonus without restructuring and extending the contract, because that's the CBA, or that's what we feel is the CBA. And we don't want to extend you because you asked for a trade. And now you've been dinged for PED use. You're trying to game the system to keep your money. And if you're using PEDs to stay up at the top level, we need to see what you can do without them. That's a pretty fair and correct opinion by the Cardinals. So why is there a snake in the grass? What did the Cardinals in any way do to you, Patrick, to deserve them being called snake in the grass? Again,
honestly,
speculating that that's who he intended that tweet to be.
Yeah, honestly, it is the juxtaposition of those two things this morning that gives me hope, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, that somehow Patrick Peterson will be an Arizona Cardinal going forward. Now, why do I say that? Well, because of the snakes in the grass tweet or Instagram post, whatever it may be, right? That and the fact that he said, oh, I see where we stand, capitalized all and stand right back then. that juxtaposition with what I heard from him yesterday, sounding so contrite and sincere and apologetic, and knowing that Cliff Kingsbury actually showed up at this event, I am hopeful that maybe there's a healing here, and maybe we can somehow, some way, after 6 weeks of the season, get over it. And then Patrick Peterson stays.
One of the other things to really...
Because you're never going to get equal value for him.
One of the other things to really look for...
And because I love him as a dude.
Maybe I should take it. In the standing for the future of Patrick Peterson and what's going to happen next. If there's no PED use and Patrick Peterson would have had a great 16-game season in 2019, we should all blast the Cardinals if they don't run to the negotiating table to give an extension to Patrick Peterson, throw away the 2020 part of the contract, and keep him here for life. But now, Patrick, if you're really reflective on what's gone on in the last 6 months of your Cardinals tenure, you shouldn't even ask for an extension in this offseason. You should go into the 2020 portion of your contract, and if the Cardinals approach you, great. Then it's a business, then demand what you want, then stick to your guns, handle it however you want. But if you're demanding a contract extension, as most players get going into the last year, Patrick, I got to tell you, you don't deserve it right now after 10, unless you have the most stellar 10 games of all time, you show contrition every day. You've got a long way to go to re-earn a contract extension at the end of this year.
Listen, I take Patrick Peterson out of the equation. You've got a 28-year-old corner who's got 2 years left on his contract. He's going to be 30 years old when you renegotiate, right? He's going to be 30, and all of a sudden he gets popped for PEDs at this point mm-hmm. in his career. I'm just take Pat P out of the equation. I'm not talking. Just look at the circumstances right now. If I'm a general manager and I'm looking at those circumstances, I'm saying, oh, you obviously know something's up. And now all of a sudden you're 30 years old and I'm going to sign you to this massive contract, this extension? When you obviously feel something's up because you're taking PEDs? You know, you could see the problem there, the conundrum. And again, I'm not talking about Pat P specifically. I'm just talking about a general circumstance, period.
Out of nowhere, just to make you feel good about something totally different today, Jackie McMullen of ESPN is reporting that behind closed doors, the Tom Benson's wife, Gail, the owner of the New Orleans Pelicans, told her staff in relationship to Anthony Davis to the Lakers, over my dead body. Yeah!
Wow.
Again, one report, one tweet, a Sports Illustrated article, but I just wanted to end
the
making you feel good about
goes,
that.
Hell hath no fury.
Oh, that's going to make you feel pretty good. Coming up next, Paul's Call on a Friday. There are gifts.
After 3 hours and 45 minutes of Pat P.
That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Paul's Call is brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. Stop into one of their 20 Valley locations or online at brooklynbetting.com. Brooklyn Betting, helping you sleep better.
Hey, it's your call, man.
No. It's your call.
No, it's your call.
No, it's your call.
Hey, nitwits. It's Paul's Call.
You know, just once.
And one time at band camp?
Just once, guys. I want to be accused of using PEDs.
This record is not tainted at all. At all. Period.
I mean, saddled with a name like Paulie Pencilneck.
Wiener Schnitzel.
I pray for the day where someone says, dude, are you juicing?
For my 28 years on this planet, right. I did not do this.
I want to be in such splendicular shape.
Who's got the largest arms in the world, brother?
That people see me on the street and they call out, hey, it's Paulie PEDs.
I think he misremembers.
I mean, that it's me on 60 Minutes getting grilled.
Have you ever used steroids or any other performance-enhancing substance?
No.
Forget A-Rod. I mean, ask me. I mean, look at my physique and, you know, force me to issue a statement.
Let me be clear. The answer is no. I did not use steroids, human growth hormone, and I've never done so.
And unlike Roger Clemens, I don't care if I'm the butt of jokes.
So-called earlier today, Roger Clemens got injected with hot soup.
You know, I mean, I want my name in the Mitchell Report, Wolf, the, you know, the one that Bud Selig never read?
It's going to take me a long time to get through it, as I'm sure that all the rest of you do.
I mean, heck, Bud got into the hall immediately.
Fishy.
You know, the commissioner of the steroid era, who oversaw and enabled and empowered the destruction of baseball's hallowed record books.
One.
Right. Not only did Bud get away with it, he got in to Cooperstown.
But I'm the president of everybody.
So I'm asking you to ask me.
Cheater!
Call me a cheater. Please.
I'm a victim of a process that completely broke down.
Paul, we're going to have to measure your hand size.
Ask me, or else you get the Sawed-Off Shotgun of Sports. Sports takes and an Arizona icon in our direction.
Between Instagram and Twitter, Grumpy Cat had over 3 million followers.
Grumpy Cat.
Get off my lawn.
Did you guys know that Grumpy Cat hailed from Morristown, out near Wickenburg?
Bacon. Bacon,
right.
A whole bacon. Damn
right.
Plate.
Grumpy Cat, alas, has passed away at age 7.
Be a dog.
No.
We don't need no meows.
No.
We don't need no cats.
No.
We need more dogs.
No. Coach, you
so
want
true.
You want a dog.
We need more dogs.
No. Your dogs ain't got nothing. They don't have their own multi-million-dollar brand.
He's on calendars and coffee mugs and pajamas.
That's
and
right.
Placemats, even Bob's shoes,
right.
Her little angry face.
That's right. So maybe it's good, Wolf, to be a cat.
Be a dog.
No. By the way, Wolf and Coach, your dog never got a presidential shout-out, eh?
I mean, they are gloomy. They're like Grumpy Cat.
That's right. Grumpy Cat was more than just a meme. Doug, you want the holy cannoli stat? The owner of Grumpy Cat, a 29-year-old waitress in 2012, is said to have amassed more than $100 million
no way.
Off Grumpy Cat.
Holy moly.
Our saying for 2 decades, the quickest way to millions is off the wallets of pet owners.
That's very true. Ask Maloney.
Yes, it is, Maloney. Where are you? Is it payday, Maloney? Somebody make sure she puts that in the bank instead of spending it on cats and dogs and all that. All right, look. If you want to talk about whining around here,
go ahead, Maloney.
Stinking St. Louis Blues fans, you know, just forget the hand pass already, okay? If you want to beat
T-Bow.
The Sharks, Calvisi Gonsalves.
He gets an assist for that. Isn't
hey,
T-Bow.
Paulie, didn't hit a stick, Paul.
Paulie penalty kill steps in here. Your only chance, St. Louis, obviously, is to sign Vladimir Putin.
On Friday, Putin took part in an annual exhibition hockey game in Sochi, and he reportedly scored 8 goals.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. 8 goals scored by,
stop
by
it.
Putin.
No way.
Well, that was the AP report. The Kremlin's account, this is no joke, says he scored 9 goals. That's right. And the Russian-owned media put out a report that said, here we go, Putin scored 10 goals.
Hey!
Right. The best part is he wasn't playing against cannolis like you. His Putin's Legends team included former NHL stars like Pavel Bure.
Fishy.
And just because Putin didn't take up the game of hockey until just before his 60th birthday, that's when he started playing hockey. And now he's 66.
Fishy.
Was this in Sochi?
It was in Sochi. And no, every year.
You're kidding me.
Every,
it was in Sochi.
He has a Putin's Legends hockey game every year in Sochi.
And, oh, my goodness.
And at 66 years of age, it doesn't mean he doesn't have the skills to absolutely school former NHL players.
Nunchuck skills,
right.
Bow hunting skills,
yeah.
Computer hacking skills.
And hockey skills for Putin.
No surprise, he has an incredible slap shot, where if you don't let him score, you are slapped and then shot.
So, there you go.
That's so bad.
How many people checked him in the boards? Yeah. Come on, one question.
What a joke.
Speaking of taking a shot.
Hey. It's Tiger.
We never did get to when Tiger Woods was asked about John Daly.
That guy in a little gold.
You don't have one, do you, Bob?
Former PGA champion John Daly is using the golf cart, right? And then, when he was asked for his take on the cart, Eldrick, he actually backed over Daly.
As far as JD taking the cart, well, I walked with a broken leg.
So. Hello, everybody!
Yeah. By the way, do you see where Tiger is staying this week?
It's easy to grin.
Yeah.
No.
When your ship comes in.
No, Paul,
on his yacht, Wolf, right on. Yep, it's parked right there. It's docked, I should say, right on the coast of Long Island.
Yeah.
If
I'm going down with the ship. I'm not going down like that.
It's right there in Oyster Bay Harbor, just down from Billy Joel's estate, they say. His 90-foot yacht named Privacy, and they...
Privacy, stop it.
No, I'm serious.
Paul, are you sure it's not...
There's a bigger gallery out looking at Tiger's yacht than there is at Bethpage Black. It has three decks. It has a gym. It has an elevator, an eight-person jacuzzi, permanent crew of four.
You know. One captain of the damn boat.
Whatever.
Crossing the lake.
Stop. Yeah. Honestly. Paul, we got to wrap this up.
No comprendo.
So, Doug, can you hold a wedding / funeral?
We are gathered here together.
Oh, no.
Don't do it.
Oh, somebody did it, combining a wedding and a funeral.
Goes in the hole.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to put the first piece of dirt on it. Right?
In California, there's a bride-to-be. She was planning her wedding when...
He was doomed.
Aunt Karen passed away from natural causes.
Sorry, anybody else that wants to put any dirt on it,
just
you
stop.
Help yourself. And if you don't feel
so, the bride had a light bulb of an idea.
Brilliant!
Why not hold the funeral on the same day as the wedding at the same venue?
No comprendo.
She explained on Facebook to friends and family that, quote, "We are all deeply saddened about Aunt Karen's loss, but we promise that we will not cancel the wedding next week."
What, I thought we were in the trust tree with in the nest, are we not?
And she said, "I would also like to add that funeral costs are skyrocketing." So they combined the two and had an open casket session during some of the wedding processions.
No comprendo.
Stop, Paul.
The invitation said, "Feel free to stop by during the wedding to say goodbye. She will be on display for those who wish to gain some closure."
No comprendo.
Paul.
I think we're done here.
That's you can drive back to Phoenix.
Yeah. Thank you, Coach. We will drive.
No one stop that from happening.
You know, it's seriously. Intern, do you hear Sean Miller? Pull it around.
This has been another edition of Paul's Call.
Get off me.
Now kindly get off Paul.
I'm busy.
He's busy.
I cannot believe what just happened. How does the team with the highest odds of the bottom four not get the number one pick? It makes no sense.
Even when hosed in the NBA draft lottery. Our saying is, win or lose, we still booze.
No, Paul.
Stay frosty, Arizona.
Siren, I've had a time.
Elvis has just left the building.
There's Paul's goal.
Thank you, Paul.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo.
Doug and Wolf's. The U. Brought to you by Carol Royce. If you want to learn how to sell your house for top dollar, go to carolhasthebuyers.com.
Paul's story on Tiger reminded me of a vacation. I was in the Bahamas, and we were on one of those boats that tells you where celebrities live. And he said, "That's Oprah's house. And there's Oprah's yacht. And there's Oprah's guest yacht." Wait. If you trust people to stay in your guest home, why can't they just use your yacht? Why do you need a guest yacht?
That's sort of like Dave Pash staying in a castle, you know, things I can't relate to.
You know what? That's my big takeaway as well. Go and knock on the Masonic Lodge door, David. Peace and strength.